Hello and happy Wednesday. On Monday, I mentioned I'd be doing an interview today. That's actually now going to happen on Friday, and we'll be getting into the topic of cryptocurrency in that interview with a good friend of mine. So make sure to tune in for that, and in the meantime, enjoy today's more traditional episode. Welcome to the Snooze. On today's episode, we will cover the following: tech employee happiness, the American restaurant glut, and Jeff Bezos' lack of philanthropy. I am your host, Will Nitza. The largest anonymous employee chat app called Blind recently polled thousands of people who work at tech companies about employee happiness, and the results, which they released Monday, surfaced some pretty telling trends. You may be interested to hear that employees at the big hosses like Google and Apple are not the happiest. None other than Netflix comes in at number one in terms of employee satisfaction with pay, which isn't that surprising given that a senior software engineer there makes $210,000 on average. Rounding out the rest of the top five are, in this order, Dropbox, Facebook, NerdWallet, and Twitch. So who is unhappy with their pay? Well, Walmart Labs, a research division of Walmart, bottoms out the list and apparently pays a pitiful, and I mean pitiful, $131,000 to senior software engineers. Second worst is Hewlett-Packard Enterprise, then data services company NetApp, design software firm Autodesk, and German software giant SAP. Unsurprisingly, when employees were asked how willing they were to leave their jobs, results tied pretty closely to compensation responses. Again, Netflix was number one here, followed by Facebook, LinkedIn, Snapchat, and Lyft. Conversely, over 90% of workers at Groupon said they are interested in leaving, and not far behind was Hewlett-Packard Enterprise, NerdWallet, Oracle, and Expedia. I wonder if that last one has to do with Uber poaching its beloved CEO, Dara Khosrowshahi. Some of the other notable tidbits are that 75% of Microsoft and 63% of Amazon employees are looking to bail. To me, the most interesting findings here were the companies that paid really well, but that people hated working for. For instance, NerdWallet was fourth best on pay, but close to last on people wanting to stay, meaning that no amount of ping pong tables can make personal finance cool. I also found it compelling that LinkedIn, Airbnb, and Lyft were far from the top in terms of pay, but are all in the top six of companies people love working for. And finally, it's fascinating, though not all that surprising, just how willing tech employees are to leave any given company in general. Of the 31 companies covered, 24 of them had more than half of their people looking to bounce. The Times put out a great piece on Tuesday on how, after a prolonged stretch of explosive growth, experts say there are now too many fast food, casual, and other chain restaurants in America. And Wall Street is largely to blame here. Since the early 2000s, banks, private equity firms, and other financial institutions have poured billions of dollars into the restaurant industry as they sought out more tangible enterprises than the dot-com startups that went belly up. The result is this insane glut of 620,000 eating and drinking places in the US, and the number of restaurants growing at about twice the rate of the US population. And the real losers of this glut are the individual restaurant owners. While the overall industry sales are up, individual restaurants' sales growth has slowed to the lowest rate since 2010. There's this positive trend for restaurants that because Americans continue to work longer hours, they continue to spend a growing share of their food budget, about 44 cents on the dollar, on restaurants. The problem is those 44 cents are getting continuously divvied up by more and more players. And the crazy thing is the industry, particularly chain restaurants, continues to expand despite these slowing sales. Most analysts think that this reckless growth is driven by private equity-backed or bank-backed chains that operate on the franchise model. Because these companies stand to gain franchise fees from new locations opening up while avoiding the downside of franchise failure, they aggressively push franchisees to expand even when they don't want to. For instance, let's say I want to buy an existing Wendy's. That may mean that I have to agree to build 10 new ones. To me, it already kind of seems like the bubble's bursting here. Last summer, Applebee's parent company closed 100 locations, and in 2016, Subway, which is the nation's largest fast food restaurant, closed more locations than it opened, the first time that happened in its history. And again, the thing that sucks here is that it's the everyday people who put their life savings into buying a Burger King or whatever other franchise that are going to be the ones that bite the dust on this one. After Amazon beat earnings last week, Jeff Bezos surpassed Bill Gates to become the world's richest man. But Bloomberg released a piece yesterday that centered on a title Bezos is not likely to claim, the world's most generous. Even with more than $90 billion to his name, Bezos has yet to make a major philanthropic mark to date. And now that he's taken the top spot, that fact will only become more glaring. Well-known philanthropy consultant Amy Schiller has said on the topic, quote, Bezos has probably had philanthropy in his mental cart for a while and kept clicking save for later, end quote. Good one, Amy. Whether he likes it or not, Bezos will now be repeatedly juxtaposed with Bill Gates, who, after becoming the world's richest, faced a huge amount of public pressure to do something with all that money. To be fair, though, Gates didn't fully throw himself into philanthropy until he stepped down as CEO of Microsoft in 2000, but since then he's helped build the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which is now the largest foundation in the country. But it is not as if other big shots haven't started offloading chunks of cash while still at the helm of their empires. For instance, Facebook chief Mark Zuckerberg, Netflix chief Reed Hastings, and Salesforce.com boss dog Mark Benioff have all made massive charitable contributions and signed up for the Giving Pledge, which was started by Gates and Warren Buffett, meaning that they've committed to give away the majority of their wealth. Now, it's not as if Bezos hasn't given anything away. Over the past 10 years, he's given about $70 million in Amazon stock to various causes, although again, that is less than 1/1,000th of Bezos' net worth. So my take here is that past a certain wealth threshold, and I'm not sure exactly where that threshold is, you have a moral obligation to better the society that enabled your outsized success. Now, I happen to think that people do not give Bezos enough credit for his space exploration company Blue Origin, which he sinks $1 billion of his own money into every year, because despite being technically for profit, the goal there is to sustain humankind in the long run. So that's inherently philanthropic. Another distinct possibility is that Bezos wants to give more, but is just a little bit lost. In June, he sent out a tweet literally asking the public for ideas on how he should approach philanthropy. A final possibility is that Bezos is just kind of a dick. I mean, much like Steve Jobs, he is notoriously known for being pretty unsavory with his employees and industry peers in general. And now for headlines and my knee-jerk reactions. Number one. An Oxford study found that if Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania had just 2% less robotic automation, Hillary Clinton would have secured enough working-class, robophobic votes to win the election. Crazy to think that robots helped to elect a man who himself cannot use email and is against automated labor outsourcing. Number two, while the new iPhone X's Face ID unlocking capabilities have been positively reviewed by the masses, Mashable reported that the tech is not immune to identical twin confusion and can be spotty when it comes to volatile facial hair. Number three, Netflix suspended production of House of Cards yesterday, 2 days after its star Kevin Spacey was accused of having made an unwanted sexual advance towards a 14-year-old boy in the 1980s. Hollywood's once overlooked perversions have lately had some pretty massive business and financial impacts. And that is it. I will see you guys Friday for my interview on cryptocurrency.